There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that his witness is true, which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bear witness of the truth. Now, you can go back and read that in Matthew 3 and Luke 3 about what happened when the Pharisees came to John. He was not too kind. He said, "You generation of vipers, you offspring of snakes." Okay. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man. But these things I say, that you might be saved. Now notice, everything that Jesus said is to turn to salvation. Whether it is something that is said in condemnation, why would Jesus say something in condemnation? In hopes of what? That there would be repentance. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But they didn't remain there, because when they went down, a burning and shining light. And why do men not like the light? Because their deeds are evil. Verse 36, "But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." And of course, we saw that the main purpose of Jesus' coming was to reveal the Father. "And the Father himself which has sent me," verse 37, "has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape." No one has gone to heaven. We covered that once before, went into it in depth. No one is in heaven. No one has gone there. No one has heard the voice of God the Father at any time, nor seen his shape. And then let's see what he says here, verse 38. "And you have not his word abiding in you." Didn't have the word of God the Father abiding in him. "For whom he has sent, you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which bear witness of me." Now these are pretty heavy statements that Jesus is saying. Search the scriptures. Apparently they weren't doing that. Are there ministers today who have completely left the word of God? Absolutely. Sure there are. Let's see where this leads to now. "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life." They wanted to do it their own way. And the Jews to this day still want to do it their own way. You can't do it any other way but God's way. You have to come to Christ. "I receive not honor from men." But notice verse 42. "But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you." Now that's a very, very profound statement. See what happens when all of this judging comes along. Then you leave the love of God. You leave the mercy of God. And he says, "I know you, that you have not the love of God in you." Now let's finish here, and then we'll just cover some verses which talk about the love of God. "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive him." And boy, that's sure true, people. Boy, how they like to follow a person, especially one who will get up and tell them how great they are, how good they are, all this sort of thing. Hey, you receive him. "How can you believe which receive honor one of another?" And I always feel that way of some scholars. How can they believe? All these that study the Word of God, they're the ones who end up being the atheists. And you know, it's really going to be quite evident judgment of God that those who spend all their life long trying to find the Bible wrong end up believing nothing and destroy the faith of other people. You know, many of these scholars don't believe anything about God. And they go to delve into the Bible and find out what it is, and they end up with more disbelief of God. Okay? "What was it then What was it? We'll find out here in a minute. That they ended up with when they left the love of God. What was it that they had, that they clung to? Now notice verse 45. No, we'll finish verse 44. How can you believe which honor one another? Of course, and all these great scholars honor one another, the great this, the great that, and so forth. And seek not the honor that comes from God only. What is that honor that comes from God only? That's eventually going to be eternal life. Because he's talking about, you think you have eternal life, search the scriptures, and the honor should come from God. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Even Jesus isn't going to do the accusing. Okay? There is one that accuses you, even Moses. And you talk about making them gnash their teeth. Even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Very key thing. You cannot believe in the true Jesus Christ unless you believe all of the Bible. That which is called the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Bible. That which is called the New Testament, which has been preserved for us in Greek. If you don't believe Moses, you can't believe in Jesus Christ. Now there are a lot of people who are supposed to be Christians that what? They don't believe Moses. They don't believe the words of Moses, the law of Moses. Now, it's really very ironic, because we'll notice, what did Jesus say? He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You have eternal life through Jesus Christ. See, the scriptures reveal the way. See? But here were the ones who handled the word of God. The Pharisees, the scribes, and they didn't believe the Word of God. What was it that they believed in more than the Word of God? Let's go to Mark the 7th chapter. Let's go to Mark 7. I think we covered this some time ago, but let's go through it just a little more thoroughly here. And this is where people become so absolutely fixed on their own authority, sitting in the seat of God, making proclamations as though they are God, making laws and rules as though they are God. Now notice again here the judgment. Let's just begin here, Mark 7 and verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. Now you will notice through the New Testament that when anything came from Jerusalem, it was that which supposedly bore authority. Remember the problems the church had when certain came from Jerusalem? Okay? Even the church had a problem with that, which is another whole subject. We won't get into that now. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands often, and that means diligently, really rubbing and scrubbing, clear up to the elbow, okay? Wash their hands often, they eat not, holding the traditions, or the tradition of the elders. Well, this is substituting the Word of God for something else. So here they had the Word of God in one hand, which they should have been following, and then they had the tradition in the other hand. And we know what they did. Let's continue here in verse 4. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they've received to hold. Now, to hold means to observe, means to hold a practice or observe a practice, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and tables. There are certain things God wanted them to have clean. That's fine. He needed to be clean, but they took it to a total extreme. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" And he answered and said unto them, "Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites." Now we read about hypocritical judgment, didn't we? In Matthew the 7th chapter. As it is written, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." See, God is interested in where is your heart. He is not interested in a tradition. He is not interested in something that's going to keep you from coming to God. God doesn't want anything to stop your heart relationship with God the Father, if you want. Remember what he said? He said, "I am the one that tries what? The heart and the reins." So when you get so focused in on these physical things to do, on these do's and these don'ts, that's why it says the letter of the law kills. It does, especially what it has here, when it becomes a tradition. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now, this is the whole enigma of Judaism. They have the Word of God. They could understand about Christ. Many of them did. But a person can be so close to it that they want to make it their own, so they add to it. And pretty soon, they left God by adding so many things. Just exactly is the same thing that took place with the People's Temple and Jimmy Jones. They used to feed the poor and take care of the hungry and the homeless. And then they often ran off to Guyana, the other extreme, and committed suicide. All in the name of God. So right here, these people had the Word of God. They had Christ standing right there in their presence. And rather than accepting him, they what? They wanted to kill him. So they were worshiping God in vain because they were following the doctrines of men. "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do." And he said to them, "Full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition." And that gets right down to the heart and core of any religion. We could say that to the Catholics. We could say that to the Jews. Now let's put it this way. The Word of God says that to the Catholics. The Word of God says that to the Jews. The Word of God says that to the Buddhists. Do they not have traditions? Well, sure they do. How long did it take the Western world to bring Japan into what is called the modern 20th century culture? It took them pretty close to 70 years. The last part of it was accomplished in 1945 when Hirohito said that Emperor Hirohito had to admit publicly that he was not the Son of God because they worshipped him as the Son of God. So they had their traditions. Oh, do the Arabs have their traditions? Oh, sure. And if you want a justification for something, what do you say? It is what? Tradition. And there's this song in the musical, The Fiddler on the Roof. The first song starts out, "Tradition." And you listen to that song carefully if you have it. It says, to the Jew, it tells him who he is and where he's going and what he is, and it's tradition. Everything is tradition. Okay, what does it do? You reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, "Honor your father and mother. Whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death." Now remember what Jesus told them back in John 5. You have one that will condemn you? Moses. Okay. Moses said, "Honor father and mother. He who curses father or mother, let him die the death." But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it's Korban, which means a gift to the temple. That is to say, a gift, by whatsoever you might have been profited by me, you shall be free. What they did, they said, okay, you do not have to take care of your father and mother, but you can give it to the temple. Now, if you give it to us, the religious leaders, then it's okay before God if your mother and father suffer. That's what they were saying. That isn't what the Bible says. That's not what God wants. And you allow him no more to do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered. And many such like things you do. Then he went on to explain the whole situation here. Let's go through just a little. Let's finish down here a little bit more in Mark, the 7th chapter. And when he called all the people, he said to them, listen unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without that is outside of a man. We're talking not about clean and unclean meats. We're talking about washing or not washing hands. Anything that is on your hand, okay, that comes from outside to in, it's not going to defile him before God. It's not talking about to eat pork or not pork. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile a man. Now just hold your place right here and let's go to one other scripture. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and verse 33. Let's follow along. Matthew 12 and verse 33. Okay, we're back on tape here now. Either make the tree good, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, so there Jesus calls him generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now we're going to see this is exactly what Jesus is talking about back here in Mark 7. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word which men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Now, Jesus makes it very clear back here. Let's turn back to Mark 7 again, and let's follow along. What difference does it make if you wash or not wash your hands? Is that going to make you good or evil? No. What difference is it going to make? Now, all of us have probably been in a church where at one time or another, a minister got up there and said, if your skirt is 1 inch above the top of the knee, you shall not come in here. You're defiling the house of God. What does that have to do with the heart? See? God is interested in the heart. Now, verse 16 of Mark 7. So then he said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, are you also without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entering into the man, it cannot defile him, because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes out into the draught, purging all meats? Now, I'll just explain here. This does not mean making all meats that were unclean in the Old Testament clean for us to eat today, but here it means purging all foods. In other words, if you eat a carrot, it's awfully hard to eat a carrot without having some little teeny speck of something on it. You know, you can wash it as absolutely clean as you want to, but it came out of the ground. So what if you eat a little bit of dirt? Are you going to die? No. What if you eat something and you didn't wash your hands? Does that change? Does that vile your mind somehow? No. Okay, this is what it's talking about. Verse 20, he said, that which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That's why conversion is a process to change the heart and to change the mind, not a set of rules and regulations that you learn by rote. Could they have the Word of God? Sure, they had the Word of God. Did they live by it? No, they didn't live by it. Jesus said, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay, let's go back to chapter 5 of John, Gospel of John. Now let's go back to verse 42. So what happens when people become all wrapped up in their own religion? In other words, when they can even take the Word of God and twist it to their own perverted use because they are not worshiping God. What happens when you reach that point? Jesus said here in verse 42, he said, I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Quite a whole different situation, isn't it? Now let's ask the question, what is the love of God? What is the love of God? Let's go to the book of 1 John. It's interesting how that John gave us the answer back in 1 John. And there is nothing more that hurts and destroys people than not having the love of God. Okay, let's go to John. 1 John, rather. 1 John. Chapter 5 and verse 2. First John 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. Now obviously the Pharisees would have had a much different attitude had they loved God. Obviously they would have been able to recognize and accept Christ if they were loving God. When we love God and keep His commandments. What was it that the Pharisees did? They rejected the commandments of God. They made the commandments of God of no effect through their tradition. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep, that means to practice and live by, His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Okay, there's a clear definition of the love of God that we could get anywhere in the Bible. For this is the love of God. Okay, now here in 1 John chapter 4, we have another section which tells us the same thing. How we know and understand the love of God. Verse 9 it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Now, you can just remember, we can tie that in with John, what we already covered there in one of the series on the Gospel of John, about that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, here it is again repeated for us, that we might live through Him. And herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. You know, God loved us. He called us first. We didn't have any inkling of the love of God till He called us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, continual atoning mercy seat for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Boy, that is something. That's something we want to keep. That's something we want to retain. That's something we want to have right in the forefront of our minds. If there's anything that is absolutely imperative that we hold on to, here it is. This tells us. Then he says here, verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. So see how that follows right along in the same context that Jesus was saying there? If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Okay, John made that pretty clear. Now let's go back to chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 15. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. Now that ties right in with misjudgment, doesn't it? The Pharisee who despised. When you despise, that means you hate. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because as he laid his life down for us, we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? So that's why Jesus said they didn't have the love of God. They were seeking to kill him. They were seeking to do him in. Okay, now let's go back to chapter 2 and verse 5. Chapter 2 and verse 5. But whosoever keeps his word in him truly, or verily, positively, is the love of God perfected. So we can have that love of God perfected in us. And it all begins and ends with Christ. And so let's always keep in that proper attitude. Let's keep that in perspective. You know, I think that has helped us through the things we've gone through and suffered. It gives us a perspective where we can look back and learn and not make the same mistakes again. And to really understand that love of God in the proper way. Well, next time we'll begin in John, the 6th chapter, and go through about the bread of life and that very, very important and profound chapter there in John 6.